Human Vortex Training and Menachem Brody present the Strong Savvy Cyclist and Triathlete Podcast, where we talk strength training, physiology, psychology, tech, and much more to help you get fitter, faster, and stronger in and out of your sport, giving you expert insights, talking with other leading experts. And now, your host, world-leading strength coach for cyclists and triathletes, Menachem Brody.
Amber, welcome to the show.
Hey, Menachem. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. We had a lot of fun before we hit record, actually, just going back and forth.
I know.
You've had a lot going on the last couple of days, it sounds like, with where you are in Southern California. And you had some interesting comments about it and how endurance sports prepares us for it. Can you share with the listeners a little bit about who you are and what you're seeing in 2020 and how we as endurance athletes have really a big edge over everyone else?
Wow, there's a lot there. Okay, so I am an endurance athlete. I am 20 years in professional cycling, world champion, Olympian, been competing just my whole life, to be honest with you, because started as a distance runner, actually a soccer player, then a distance runner, and then got into cycling. So yeah, we can go more in depth with that, but to jump ahead to what's going on right now, Southern California, we're like in the middle of these crazy fires that are a few miles from my house. So at a moment's notice, I might just bolt because I'm being evacuated, but I'm pretty hopeful we'll make it through this interview. But no, what I was telling you, Menachem, was I think we as athletes, sport, athletics, training parallels life. And I think it provides such an amazing place to train our intangibles. I call them championship intangibles, PX4, perseverance, patience, perspective, power. Of course, resiliency. There's so many other things that are a part of those core intangibles, but sport and athletics really is an awesome place to develop those and test them out and try and fail and get stronger, continue to pick ourselves up. So I think we as athletes in this time of COVID and this time of the crazy climate and the political world and everything that we're in the midst of, we sort of have an advantage because we can stay a bit more calm in the midst of the chaos. We're equipped with the intangibles to, you know, manage the situation and work through it. Yeah, so that's kind of what we were chatting about. Yeah, you tell me how far you want me to go and essentially with my story too, I'm happy to share more.
Well, you've had a number of ups and downs. I mean, you've really bounced back and literally, like there were just some tough days and a lot of people don't share that story. And I think that's something that's really unique with you is that you're open about it and you're willing to share with people and have that vulnerability. And that's not easy to do, especially nowadays. Like we've had Dr. Lisa Lewis here a number of times on the podcast to talk about mental strength and the ability to tap into things. And this is something that I see as kind of like the final frontier, if you will, like that space when it comes to exploring. Strength training is kind of the deep ocean, but mental training is space. Can you talk a little bit or would you mind sharing a little bit about your journey and how going through that has prepared you to be able to tackle or allowed you to tackle 2020 and how you're using that to really push forward and continue to perform at a high level here?
Yeah, so I have been through a lot of crazy stuff. 4 years old, I had spinal meningitis. As a distance runner, I had, I want to say 7 stress fractures. I had a lot of stress fractures between diagnosed and undiagnosed. So a lot of adversity early on as an athlete, which to be honest to you at this point, I look back and I'm very thankful for that time because that is where I started to develop my intangibles. In a safe space with athletics that I could then carry over into the world of cycling, but also just life in general. So, but once I got into cycling, I mean, I've had surgeries, I've had crashes. I mean, I've been in trauma centers, I think in 4 different countries that have resulted in me, you know, leaving a race in an ambulance, heading to a trauma center, flying home for surgery, having plates inserted or what have you. The crash in 2013, I slammed into the side of a mountain and shattered my pelvic crest. So those sorts of things. I've had a melanoma, a lot of ups and downs with just the process itself of training and being an athlete and just normal life stuff too. So I guess for me, it's one of those things, when you think about training, you think about progressive overload. And progressive overload applies to every part of our lives, whether it's spiritual, whether it's mental, whether it's physical, you know. And so for me, I have been progressively overloaded across my life. And because every time I've faced something, I've chosen to respond to it, I think I've been able to grow and develop and forge those intangibles that I've needed, both in sport and in life. And it's a process. It certainly is not a light switch, but that process has challenged me and changed me and equipped me to be who I am. And as much spiritually and with my faith as, you know, the physical and the mental. So I'm rooted in the Lord, and that's carried me through everything. That's my power source. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's pretty cool to think how you can be equipped in that way. And adversity is not if, it's when. And I think that's always important. And for me as an athlete, my adversity looks different than yours, probably, than somebody who is, you know, in the middle of facing a really crazy disease. Or, you know, we help physically challenged kids. Like I just rode with a little girl who, she's got one leg, you know? And so her adversity is different than mine, but adversity, it's not if, it's when. And when it comes, how are you going to deal with it? How are you going to face it? How are you going to choose to respond to it? So I think that's super important. And for me, sport has been that training ground to grow what I've needed to have for right now in life.
It sounds like there's also, gratitude has been a staple there as well. Is that something, you know, it's hard. I know when I broke my fibula in the accident, like a little bird was above me. Like I'm cursing as I probably put a couple $1,000 in the swear jar that day. But there was a bird as I'm laying on the sidewalk looking up, or the, you know, the road after I had scooted over and sitting on the curb, like clearly it's broken. And somebody's trying to lie to me, like, no, it's okay. I'm like, dude, this is my job. It's broken. And the bird is just kind of fluttering like this. And it was just kind of like chirping. And I took it, interpreted it as, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? And in that moment, it was, you know what? It could have been way worse. I could be dead. Mm-hmm. I could have been driving like an idiot and I couldn't be here. So this somehow was for the best. How has your adversity, what's the word I'm looking for, melded or refined your gratitude that you've had in your life?
Yeah, that's good. And being grateful, thankfulness is, I think, is so important. I think the adversity probably has just given me a perspective, you know, or taught me perspective and how important it is to maintain the right perspective. So it's so easy to like zoom in and be super focused on this little thing right here. But, you know, it's like, you just got to zoom back out and see the big picture of what's going on. And like you just said, what could have happened for me so many times, you know, it could have been way worse. Like I probably could have been dead a couple of times, or like way, way worse injuries, or my career be completely finished. So being able to see what could have been, that sort of perspective. Also, I love this idea of being able to find opportunity in the difficulty. You know, I heard the quote from Alan Redpath, and he may have taken it from Winston Churchill, but essentially it's like, do you see difficulty in the opportunity, or do you see opportunity in the difficulty? And I love that, because there's always opportunity in the difficulty. You know, that's up to you to find it. And so for me, it's like, okay, I'm still breathing. So what can I do? Let's focus on what I can do. Let's find that opportunity, and let's find a way out. And certainly for me, from a faith standpoint, I know God promises to work all things for his good, you know, for those who love him. And so like, I'm always like, okay, I'm gonna believe that. I'm gonna trust you on that. Let's find the good, you know, let's look for it. And I do, and I'm thankful. I think being thankful, it just sets your heart in a place to be able to receive and to see the opportunity. So yeah, I think thankfulness is huge. And so many times we take for granted the things we have. I know, like living in America, you know, it's like, man, I have running water that I can drink. I have a plumbing system where I can just use the toilet in the house. You know, it's like super simple things that we totally take for granted. Air we can breathe, like right now being in the midst of the fires, it's like, man, I can't go outside right now because the air quality is too bad. But normally that's not an issue. So like we have so many things to be thankful for. And how can we use these things to really help others and, you know, just be positive and share life with other people, be light in the darkness.
Is that a daily practice then for you? Like, do you purposefully take 5 or 10 minutes a day, like to start your day or end your day, or maybe you're, when you're warming up on the bike, to just say, you know, thank you for the air, thank you for the cells that's, you know, do you do that at all?
It's probably a bit more, even more intentional than that. And to go, like, if you want to go down that road, yeah. So I am a person of faith. So I believe Jesus is my Lord and Savior and I trust him. And I do make intentional time to spend with him in his word. And to have that prayer time with him and to really, take in just his wisdom and let him be the rock of my life. It's funny, like sports psychology, anything from sports psychology to whatever it is in life, you know, I can find that wisdom in his word. And so I do spend time soaking that in. And I do, you know, I'm thankful for the gifts that I have, the opportunities that I have. And I think it's more than just like, okay, for 5 minutes, I'm gonna be thankful. It's more of like, I just want my life to be a response, you know? So it's not like a checklist of things that I have to do, but I just want my life to be a response to what's been done for me. So in that, it's more natural, it's more organic, and it's just, it's living life with a thankful heart.
And that's something a lot of people, I think, you know, it's not necessarily a religion thing at this point. I think, especially with meditation coming finally to full bloom, it could be Gaia, the universe, the ether, whatever it is. It just seems like more people are choosing, and it is a choice, to focus on purposeful living and putting good out there. I remember when I was in college, they had just started the RAC Club, Random Acts of Kindness Club. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it initially started as a faith-oriented initiative, but it quickly grew to people who were like, well, I remember sitting there, I think it was junior year or sophomore year, and people were like, well, I'm not religious. Can I participate? Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah. And I think that's something that's a theme with the guests we've had here is we don't always talk about it on air, but it seems like I'd say probably 95% When I ask them, like, do you practice like gratitude for a couple minutes? Or like sometimes in traffic or you know, I remember something happened and then it led to this. Like, yeah, it just seems like as a whole, we as a human species is becoming more aware of, one, the energy we put out is the energy we get back. And you're being very purposeful. You're choosing to respond, not to react. Because react is just a jerk. It's not, you're not putting thought into it. It's like, oh, that person just cut me off and I have so many fingers, as opposed to they must be in a hurry. Maybe there's a medical emergency or maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Meeting. Yeah, I think that's, I mean, being able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and really to be able to slow down and give grace and just, like you said, put out what you want to receive back. So to be extra willing to forgive, extra willing to love, extra willing to show kindness, be patient with other people. It's like, man, sometimes I need people to be patient with me. I have days and I'm just like, whoa. Like, so many times I just think about the times other people have done that for me. And I'm just like, wow, I want to be able to give that back to somebody else. So I do think it's contagious, you know, and it's funny, we're in this world of COVID right now and we're worried about that sort of thing. And it's like, why not make kindness contagious and love and sharing and giving and thankfulness, you know, it just radically transform us from the inside out instead of having to, you know, legislate rules and things. It's like, let's start from the inside, the heart side, and move outward and let's see what happens.
I'm totally with you. I think you'll understand this. This is the first time I'm going to put it out in the public forum, but I find it that, and I'm totally guilty of this, but words are some of the most powerful weapons we have. I saw an artist drawing from, it was someone who was of Muslim background because of the signature. And Not that it matters. It's just like, that's how interrelated we are, right? So it crosses all boundaries. And that someone was talking and they had drawn a arrow that was going through the other person's heart. I kind of saw a world. I was really turned off to social media. I'd spent a lot of time on there because I'd scroll looking for things that are interesting to me, which thankfully has been broken. But I find it kind of very funny that the way Corona spreads just by speaking, and it's highly contagious. So you think about the negative things you say. So we're covering our mouths. And to me, that's kind of like, you know, the universe or whatever is telling us like, yo, you got to be careful with how you're speaking. Like, and you look at today's, especially you mentioned the political climate, like, oh my God, I've had friends, people who are friends since high school that are no longer talking to each other because they disagree on politics. Like, dude, there's so much more. And I don't want to go down that rabbit hole necessarily, but like, it's one of those things where it's just like, it's not this free love. It's just like, let's communicate. Let's connect.
It's the art of conversation.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. How has that impacted your ability as a racer and going from racer to coach? Because it sounds like you're really into not just kind of like coaching somebody, but actually getting to know them and, you know, what would really move this person and what motivates them, not from podiums and PRs, but from an inner standpoint. How has that affected you?
Yeah, I think it's funny when you see somebody with talent, it's being a great athlete is so much more than just talent. You know, they have to have the head that goes with it. So that mental toughness and that ability to work through things and the heart, you know, the will and the desire to go through things. So, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely interested in the whole person. You know, I like to listen. I like to listen a lot to where my athletes are and what's going on because I care, number one. And I know what they're dealing with is important to them. So then it's important to me too. I also know it's stress and it's life. And so from a coaching standpoint, a lot of times we talk so much about the science, but you have to apply the science to the individual. And I've been an athlete for so long, so I really understand how important it is for me to understand what my coach is saying, because I'm the one that has to translate his words to my legs. So I, as the athlete, need to know what my coach means. And me as the coach, like, I want to be able to communicate in a way that my athlete can take what I'm saying and apply it to themselves. And then of course, with life stress and their approach to things, obviously, like, how I communicate to them might be a little different based on their style or, you know, how they view the world or just the things they've been through and what clicks with them. So I have to be able to understand that and connect with it as a whole. And certainly the whole idea of just really understanding why are you doing what you're doing and how to apply it, I think really starts at the communication level. So when you take time with your athletes, number one, they trust you. And so they're going to buy in better to what you're trying to help them do. But also number two, that ability to kind of understand what each other means, even though like the words might not be perfect, the back and forth understanding is better. And so then the translation into action, into performance, and to becoming a better athlete and a whatever that is. And I think as they become better athletes, they're better in their business lives, you know, because all of a sudden, like maybe they thought, there's no way I'm ever going to get my threshold above this number, or there's no way I can do, you know, 7x3 minutes or some crazy workout that I might give them, you know, it's like, and then it's like, hang on, let's go through the process and let's get you to try to do something you think you can't do. And then when they find out they can do it, oh, it just transforms them. And they can take that, then they can take those lessons that they've learned in athletics. And also that, you know, learning not to fear failure and learning to understand that as they try to do stuff and it doesn't go right, it is, again, it's an opportunity for growth and it's an opportunity to understand how not to do something and how to really, you know, hone in on your own strengths and what's going to work for you. So there's just crazy cool process that happens through training. And I love more than anything, that side of things. I think anybody can write a training plan. I mean, you understand what needs to happen, the nuggets that need to go in there, the progression, but to be able to take that and then get the athlete to be able to really wrap their arms around it, love it, dive into it, and put it in action. That to me is the fun part.
Want to learn more? Check out humanvortextraining.com for more on this topic from Coach Brody and today's guest.
The fun part. So the challenge of getting to know the athlete and how they need to be connected with, it sounds like.
Yeah. Okay. So let's flip it. So let me talk about as an athlete. So as an athlete, if you asked me, okay, if I could only have the world championships or I could have the process, I would choose the process. The world championship, that win, that huge win that on the moment, you know, yeah, it's a title. It's huge. The world recognizes it, but you know what is so fleeting? And it's so quickly forgotten and it doesn't define who I am, you know, but that process element, the process is where like I grow as an individual, you know, I've grown my championship intangibles. I've created relationships with people that are lasting, you know, my relationship with Tim Cusick, for example, my coach, you know, that we've worked hand in hand with, and it's just like the stuff we've been through, the stuff we've had to, you know, work through, and that relationship and that friendship that's developed is so cool. My relationship with the Lord, how he's worked through cycling to work in me. Unbelievable. I think about the impact I've been able to have on other people because of what I've been through. Like there's so many elements of this process. And even for me, just that challenge to be better. It's like, can I do this? Like right now it's like, I am on the Olympic long team. I have a good chance of making the Olympic team for America. And I'm 45 years old right now. And again, COVID, right? So okay, I should have been 45. Now it's like, holy smokes, it's going to be 46. It's like, whoa, this is crazy. Can I do this? You know, and the willingness to enter into this process, stay in the, enjoy it, enjoy the ups, struggle through the downs and learn from them and grow from them. I mean, that to me is just like, that's so huge. And so when I think about that from the coaching side, like I know how much my coach means to me. I know how much the process is what it means to me, the value that's there. And I know my athletes are chasing goals. And they think, and I was like this too, I chased gold. I chased gold through all these other things first. And now I'm chasing these things, you know, I'm chasing, instead of chasing gold through God, I'm chasing God through the gold, you know, and it's just like, it's just flip that's happened. And so like, you can go after these goals and use the process, or you can embrace the process and let the goals be the conduit to really engage in that. So in the end, I think when you can get to the point where you really enjoy process and that side of it, number one, you're going to stay with it. You're going to be consistent with it. And you're actually going to grow because you'll be less likely to be discouraged for long periods of time. I'm not going to say you're not going to get discouraged and you're not going to have hard things happen, but you'll be positioned to get through it better.
You just touched on a couple really important parts. I think new coaches in particular need to hear. And it's something that, you know, with the strength training for cyclist certification, I get feedback at the end, like what surprised you most is one of the questions. And people say athlete intake. Like I never thought or realized that people learn visually, tactily, or orally and kinesthetically. So I've never thought of that. And these are basic coaching tenets and understanding people. So that was the first thing, is that that's something that it sounds like came either through your experiences and finally finding the right coach, or was it more of hearing what others were going through and being like, wow, I really found a coach who gets me.
Wow. So I've only actually worked with two cycling coaches in my whole career. So I think I've been blessed to have, it was divine connections that happened. So I don't think so much of that. I think more it's probably come from my own probably insecurities. You know, I was super smart in school, but at the same time, I was so afraid to ask questions. You know, I was like, I didn't want to ask the wrong question. On top of that, you know, I'm not always the most articulate person. So like trying to get what's in my brain out of my mouth is often very difficult. And it takes maybe a few times of trying. So like, I get that. And I don't want anyone to feel that way, you know? So like, I'm constantly trying to like, okay, number one, just so you know, I was that girl that wore underwear under her bike shorts. So like, I remember that. And I needed somebody to be gentle and tell me not to. So like, when I approach somebody, like, I want to approach them on their level. So they're comfortable and they can understand. And then, yes, I know for me, learning, sometimes I need to hear it. Sometimes I need to see it. Sometimes I need to touch it. Sometimes I need all of it. Sometimes I need multiple. It's like, try again. Can you say that again and again and again? And it's like, I know I need that. So to be able to know that there are going to be times when I explain something to somebody and they're going to look at me and it's going to be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then to be able to come at them patiently, in a different way, you know, whether that's more, you know, visual or hands-on, to meet with them and work hands-on, or just to try to figure out another way to communicate it to them. Huge, hugely important.
And it's funny because exactly what you said, taking what's in your head and putting it down, or sharing it and articulating it. I mean, I published my first book. That's what came out of the accident, was the book, the strength training for cyclist certification, all this stuff. People are mean, man. I mean, I got like a one star, and I took it to heart. Like, I was moping around the apartment, and this is after Corona. So I started, so I couldn't go anywhere. We also had the baby. But people can be very tough, and that can be very hard to be willing. Again, it's a vulnerability. You know, it's kind of like giving a hug. You need to open your hands and be vulnerable to full front attack in order to bring someone else in. How have you found most people to be receptive to that? Do you find some people are defensive? Like, when you try and engage with them and ask them, like, how do you learn best? They're like, I don't know, you tell me. And how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I've not experienced that directly. I guess I've never actually directly asked that question. Normally it kind of just comes out of the process of being sensitive and listening. But yeah, I think people can be defensive and mean, but that's where I think we as coaches, you know, our approach and coming from a humble perspective and not a know-it-all perspective can be very helpful. So you obviously, when you express a little bit of just humility and understanding and willing to step down, then I think it does help the athlete be a bit more vulnerable, because certainly, yeah, there are things, like for me, I can say, you know, there have been times when I'm like, I've needed to ask for help with my weaknesses. And yeah, it is hard to do that. But thankfully the people on the other side have been willing to just, you know, they don't sit on it. They're just like, yeah, how can I help? You know, and they jump in and engage in the process with you. So I guess too, it's that, being able to, just get started with the details, and not worry about some of the other stuff, but just focus on the steps. What's the next step that needs to happen? You know, let's figure this out. Let's figure it out together. More of an approach like that than, you know, being so direct and like, how do you learn, that kind of thing, and getting a defensive response. I think it starts from my side and how I, you know, start the conversation.
Sounds like there's a story there, and maybe that was a turning point in your career, was being vulnerable and asking for help. Was that something that kind of pivoted things once or twice for you?
Probably more once really big was really after my Tour of California crash. You know, that was like the fourth massive, like, I mean, as a cyclist, you have a ton of crashes, but like four really big ones being in the trauma center, and you're just like, okay, I do not want to be in another ambulance. I do not want to have another surgery. And so, yeah, you start to, your brain starts to remember this stuff. And so then, I mean, I was scared. I was a little bit scared on the bike, and in the group. And so I had to ask for help with just going through the fundamentals again. Like, everything was just so confused in my brain. And Tim really took time to help me with some fundamentals of, you know, just basic on bike stuff, and it's stuff that no one had ever taken me through. I'd gotten so far in my career, and nobody had taken me through that stuff. So to be able to go through the fundamentals of descending, cornering, that sort of stuff, you know, again, just to remind me that I could do it, and the right way to do it. And essentially in focusing on the details of the steps, you know, as you get more comfortable and confident in your ability and your technique, then you naturally just get better at what you're doing, and that fear tends to go away. So yeah, I mean, obviously for me to go race in, you know, Europe again, for me to get back on the bike and time trial and do the training I need to train, you know, I had to get over that. So it was a big deal. And Tim was really gracious with his time to help me get through that and do that. But yeah, I had to ask for help. He saw it, but he also needed me to ask for help too.
And that's something I think a lot of coaches make mistake. I'm totally guilty of it myself, where you see an athlete who physiologically and you know, to a point mentally are developed enough that they're competing and doing well. And you just make assumptions. You're like, mm-hmm. you know, you don't want to come to bumping and cornering clinic, not a problem. And you just kind of, if you're smart enough or somebody says something, you take a step back, you're like, yeah, but they're fast, so they must know how to do it. And it's like, well, it's the fundamentals. Mm-hmm. There's a number, I feel so bad, I forget his name. He's a mountain biking instructor and a hell of a downhill racer himself. And he practices 15 or 20 minutes of bike handling every single day. And that's something, you know, people look at him like, how can you do that? He's like, consistency, just going through and practicing the things that no one else wants to while we're sitting in the parking lot, instead of standing with my feet on the floor, or just bunny hop, or, you know, doing different types of stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about other sports, like how common is that? Like basketball, like I'm sure LeBron James, Steph Curry, those guys, they spend so much time working on their dribbling, you know, just the basic fundamentals, or taking free throws, thousands of free throws, you know, this stuff that it's like, you look at them and you're like, they don't need to practice that, right? They're already so good. So yeah, just taking time to practice the fundamentals is huge, and not getting complacent in those small things. And I think probably I had gotten complacent. So it was good. It was good to remind myself and to go back to just the basics.
And one of those, the sports that I work with is basketball, actually, still. I work with a number of developmental kids, and the ones who see the fastest progress are the ones who buy into the process, like you said.
Yeah, right.
And it's so hard to get a kid to realize or understand, like, dude, when you come in, don't shoot 1,000 shots of threes and 2.5, you know, meters. Like, let's do 500 shots, form shooting, 1 meter from the basket where it doesn't touch the rim. It's easier to describe that to a kid or a basketball player and how that's going to help them versus a adult cyclist. Cause let's face it, most of us get into it as adults. Hey, if you learn how to brake, it's not going to be scared crapless every time we go down a hill, or you learn how to descend. How do you get through to your adult athletes that these skills are fundamental and will really help them enjoy the bike more if they just take the time to learn and practice them?
You know, it's funny you bring up that example. Just 2 days ago, one of the new athletes I started to work with, I could just tell from our conversations that she was not comfortable being outside on the bike. And so I said, hey, you know, I have a free Saturday. Can you come down and meet me? And we spent 3 hours a couple days ago working on literally the same things you just talked about. Like, here's a braking box. Here's how you use your front brake. Here's how you use your rear brake. This is what happens when you use both. Hey, look, if your body position's in the right spot, you're not going to fly over the handlebars and you have so much more stopping power. Right. So, yeah, I mean, I think for some adults, like, they just want to get better. They've been looking for somebody to help them and they haven't been able to find something. Her comment was, I've been asking these questions for, you know, 5 years and nobody at the bike shop, nobody I'm riding with has been able to take time to help me. So just the pure fact that someone took time to reach out and help them, I think is huge. And a lot of times that's all it is. They recognize somebody needed help. You reach out, you work on the details. Of course, then there are people that, I mean, it's with every area of life, right? You have people that think they know everything, or they know the best way, or maybe they're just too insecure and they're afraid to ask for help. And in time, hopefully, you know, as you build better connection, you can work your way around that and through that. But yeah, my experience is the people who have needed help have actually wanted help.
That's one of the, and aren't afraid to ask and
right.
And one of the other things, I think a lot of people don't realize this. So, you know, we think about like basketball or we think about baseball. Cycling is very much an individually supported sport, much like triathlon. This is also something that you're doing on your own as well, is you're self-supported through everything that you're going through. So the money that you're making is essentially going into your own personal training. How do you connect with people? Like, do you have regular sponsors? Do you kind of talk with people at base camp and somebody's like, hey, you know what, Amber, you're doing an awesome job. I'd like to have you as a coach. Like, how does everything come together to help you be able to continue to do what you're doing? Which, as you said before, it also comes back. And now you have the motivation, you have what you need to, and then it just goes back out like tenfold. It's kind of like one ray of sunshine, 10 rays of sunshine out.
Yeah, that's such a hard question for me at this point in my career. I think due to my age, but it's just like, it's so hard for me to find support, financial support, or just, you know, equipment support in cycling. So yeah, I've ended up self-funding so much of it. So I'm always interested in having conversations with people who might be interested in working with me based on my story, or just what's ahead with the games, with who I am as a person and just as a coach too. You can reach out to me on Instagram or my social or my website, nevenpx4.com. But ultimately, from a coaching standpoint, it's like, I haven't really promoted that too much because I am still competing. But the other side of it too is I want to work with people who want to work with me. And so typically those people find me. It's pretty crazy. So I'm always open to discussions. And when somebody reaches out to me, I'm usually really receptive because they've been bold enough to reach out. And I respect that. And I'm curious and want to know if I can actually help them. And if I can, I definitely want to work with them. So yeah, the coaching side of things has helped fund my cycling. Working in base camp will certainly help. Yeah. And I'm always looking for side projects and side opportunities too. Like I said, I love to share my story. We actually didn't go into it. I wrote a book. It's called When Schmack Happens. So that's the first phase of my career. I have notes for 2014 forward, but it's still being written. So once I retire, I'll write part two. I don't know if I really answered your question, but...
Yeah, you did. I mean, it sounds like there's a multiple arms there. One is you as the athlete. The other is you as a coach. You as a coach as part of the base camp program. And then also you as a human being. I mean, you mentioned at the beginning, it's not an athlete. It's a human being and supporting them. And I think that's what's unique about you here is that there's a very much a... If one thing is coming to me, how do I use that and then multiply it with my skills and my experiences to help even more people? And that's something, you know, coaches get into it to help people, but that's unique. Like, you don't hear that very often. Like, oh, I'm going to share my experience with you. Not like, I'm going to make it a fivefold return for you.
Yeah, I that would be my goal, you know, to be able to multiply back what's been given to me. I remember all the people who have helped me from the beginning, and I've needed help. So to be in a position with my knowledge or with my experience to really share that, I love doing it. And I just, life is hard, period. Training is hard. And I get that. I totally get that. And I think sometimes in this perfect social media world we live in, nobody wants to talk about that stuff. But you know what? It's normal and it's totally okay. And let's figure it out and let's learn from it and let's grow from it. So to be able to have that attitude and to take that perspective into things, you know, I just, to be able to hand that off to somebody, because then I know, like, if they're a mom or a dad, it's like, they're going to share it with their kids, you know, or, you know, the one person you talk about multiplying. Honestly, I think I help once, like I'll help someone. And then my prayer is that someone is in position to help many people, you know, and if I have a chance to help many people, whether it's through a podcast or, you know, in some other way, that's awesome. But, you know, it can be overwhelming. And so sort of my focus is more on the ones. And I know ones matter. You know, it mattered to that one, and that one's going to go change somebody else. And then it's not so overwhelming either. So yeah, absolutely. It's, And you asked about how people could help me. It's like, I don't know, I'm sort of given up on having people help me. If you want to help me, that's awesome. But I really want to help other people. So I know that goes a long way.
It does. And it's fitting that you have the ocean there. It's like the parable of the little boy walking along the beach and throwing starfishes back in.
Throw the starfish back.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as you say one. And really, it's been my experience, and maybe I'm wrong here, but it's been my experience when you find somebody, especially in a coaching role or in a role who has a lot of experience that's looking to impact that one, it's almost always, you know, hundreds. And they don't mean to because they're so focused. Because if you're thinking, oh, I'm going to talk to Amber and also I'm going to do this and also I'm going to do that, like then you're just not present. But focusing on the one, and it sounds like that's a tenet in your life, in your coaching, in your practice, and also in your own racing, is let's focus on the one person in front of me. And what can I do for them today at this time? Not on a podium, like where are they on their journey? How do they communicate with the world? And how do I connect with them to help them be a little bit better?
Absolutely. And again, it goes back to that, how, you know, training parallels life. You know, and when you do a workout, it's like you need to stay in the moment. You know, you might have five intervals in front of you. And it's like, just do one. As soon as you do one, you can do the next one, right? Then you do that one. Can I do one more? Yeah, I can do one more. You know, and it's in racing, it's staying in the moment, staying in the process of exactly what you're doing in the moment. And in life, it's the same. It's like, what can I do right now? Like, I can't worry about what happened yesterday. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but what can I do right now? Start where you are, use what you have, do what you can, kind of a thing.
That's powerful. That's really powerful. Well, Amber, I think that's a perfect place for us to wrap up for today. That is just gold right there. So you mentioned before NebenPX4.com, the number four, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Or on Instagram, it's Amber Neben PX4. On Facebook, it's Amber Neben PX4. Twitter's just Amber Neben, but mostly I'm more active on the Instagram and Facebook. So follow me there. Shoot me a note there. I would love to hear from you guys. Yeah. Or my website has a contact. So you can find out more about the whole of me on my website, as far as like the coaching, the athletic side, speaking, my book. I have a blog there too. So absolutely check it out. And hopefully I can encourage everybody, not just athletes, but moms and dads out there, you know, everybody.
And I think that one of the biggest takeaways here is that resiliency we mentioned before, mm-hmm. and grit. I've mentioned the Angela Duckworth book, and that's clearly something that you have here, Amber, as well as gratitude, respond, not react, and mm-hmm. pick up your book, When Schmack Happens, The Making of a Spiritual Champion.
Yeah. So like I said, life and sport parallel each other. So like, as I've trained to be a champion in sport, you know, God has used that whole process to make, you know, to develop those core intangibles that I've needed spiritually and mentally, and just underneath, you know, those roots and growing roots and being rooted and being able to survive storms has all happened through the process of chasing the championship. So, I mean, whatever your championship is, like I'm chasing gold medals, maybe you're trying to beat cancer, maybe, you know, you're just trying to homeschool your kids right now. that's your championship. But yeah, through the process, so many amazing things can happen. So, and PX4 is perseverance, perspective, power. And I captured that as my core intangibles. I think they're applicable to anything. So I love to talk about those. We did that. So all good.
Awesome. And again, folks, it is NebenPX4.com. Amber, thank you so much for joining us. This was a ton of fun.
Yeah. Thanks, Menachem. I had fun too.
That's it for this episode of the Strong Savvy Cyclist and Triathlete Podcast with world-leading strength coach for cyclists and triathletes, Menachem Brody. Don't miss an episode. Hit that subscribe button and give us a review. For more exclusive content, visit humanvortextraining.com or get the latest expert videos from Coach Brody on the HVT YouTube channel at HV Training. Until next time, remember to train smarter, not harder, because it is all about you.